Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this last weekend in January. Hard to believe. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, in the last couple of weeks, we've been everywhere from, and I'm not making this up, the Catskills to Cairo. Today, a little bit further out, 51 degrees, 30 minutes north, 0 degrees, so you know we're north, 7 minutes west, we're in London, coming to you from a wonderful new hotel called 45 Park Lane, right in the heart of Mayfair, right down the street from the Dorchester, actually part of the Dorchester collection. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837, that's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls, you email me. To Peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. So much news to talk about this week, and this show's going to be loaded with it. Everything from the continuation of the investigation of the Costa Concordia disaster, what you think happened versus what really happened, and does the captain actually have a leg to stand on? Some surprises there. Of course, in the world of airlines and consolidation, American Airlines being chased by two airlines right now, Delta and US Air. Is that going to happen? And if it does, what are the consequences for consumers if that merger goes through? Will the regulators even let it happen in terms of consolidation and monopolization of routes? We'll be talking about that. And then, of course, just recently, in fact, just a couple of days ago, the U.S. Department of Transportation kicked in some new rules on airline pricing and the protocols for airline pricing about requiring airlines to list and actually include all the other fees and charges in the actual price that they're advertising online. Big changes there, which also include banning post-purchase price increases, allowing passengers to hold a reservation without a payment or to cancel it without penalty for 24 hours after the reservation is made, and requiring disclosure of baggage fee information on e-ticket confirmations. A lot of other stuff in there as well. And that prompted a huge protest by a number of airlines, ranging from Spirit to Southwest to Allegiant, claiming, among other things, that they thought it was a restraint of free speech, an interesting constitutional argument. We'll talk about that. And, of course, the business travel community in arms because this is what they've been arguing for. They wanted full transparency and disclosure. And so joining me on the show this morning, we've got a number of very interesting guests. We've got everyone from Ben Baldanza, the CEO of Spirit Air, and Kevin Mitchell, the chairman of the Business Travel Coalition. I think we have both of these gentlemen on the phone. Let me start with Kevin, if I can. Kevin, first of all, welcome to the show. We've talked with you before. You've been arguing for this kind of transparency for quite some time, haven't you?
Yes, Peter. You know, a lot has changed in the airline industry in recent years, and there have really been no meaningful initiatives to protect passengers for probably 15 years. The airlines have fought any new rules all along the way. So today what we have is a set of rules that will protect passengers in this new environment. For example, airlines very aggressively began unbundling airfares in 2008. And today we have complexity and confusion in airline pricing that's never been seen before in the airline industry or, in fact, in any other industry. So these rules are extremely important. And then I would finally say the airlines want it both ways. They want no consumer protection rules, but they also want federal preemption, which means the state's consumer rights protections laws do not come to bear on any consumer complaints in air transport.
Sure, but Kevin, you have to admit, since 1978, that's been the case under deregulation. No state attorney general or Bureau of Consumer Affairs can regulate the airlines, and the airlines would then argue that they've been able to operate in a very free and open environment to be able to just let the market rule.
That's correct, but the Congress said when they deregulated the airline industry that the DOT would remain with the authority to police unfair and deceptive practices. And that's exactly what the DOT's new rules are predicated upon.
Well, in this situation, of course, the rules have been kicked into effect, and there are a number of airline websites that have already conformed to it. One website that has an interesting disclaimer on it is the one from Spirit Airways, or Spirit Airlines, I should say, and that forced U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer to write a letter to our next guest, the Spirit Airlines CEO Ben Baldanza, asking him to end, and she quoted the airline's deliberate attempt to deceive the flying public. Ben, you don't see it that way.
We don't see it that way at all, Peter. And in fact, Barbara Boxer and her staff needs to understand the facts a little better, as I believe Kevin Mitchell does, because we believe that this is less disclosure for the consumer, not more. Let me give you an example. Before this regulation, if you went to Spirit.com to buy a ticket and you said you want to fly from New York to Florida and you want to fly on February 15th, what you would see is a calendar that shows you February 15th and what the price is, and then you'd see 2 weeks before and after. So because you might see, for example, hey, if I just stay an extra day or if I leave a day earlier, I can save $20, and we made it real easy to see that. As soon as you clicked on your date, the next thing you saw was your fare plus all your federal taxes and all the required taxes summed up for you immediately. Now all we can put in the calendar is the total price. So you tell me what's better disclosure, seeing $75 for your fare plus $25 to the government for taxes equals $100, or just $100. The new rule is just the $100. That's less disclosure, not more.
But if your fare changes day to day, wouldn't the total fare change every day as well?
Well, yes, it would. But again, consumers should know what they're paying the airline for the service and what they're paying the government for taxes. Our belief is that by hiding the taxes in the fare, making them look like one thing, it obscures to the consumer what they're paying for the service and what they're paying in taxes. That makes it very easy for the government to raise the taxes. And frankly, it hides the fact of how much tax consumers are paying on their air travel. We think consumers should know exactly how much their government is charging them for taxes.
Well, I will tell you this, Ben. I totally agree with you that the taxes on some of these tickets sometimes exceed the fares.
That's often very the case, and consumers should know that it's taxes driving it up, not the airline.
Although the argument could be made, in fact has been made by Barbara Boxer and Kevin Mitchell, and sometimes even by me, that when an airline advertises a fare that certainly gets my attention, like you've had some fares out there, Ben, for $9, without disclosing at least initially in that same box what the additional taxes and fees would be incurred. So you get our attention, right? I saw a fare advertised to London recently for $282 with an asterisk. And you know what the asterisk means? It means you got to go search for it. And by the time we finished looking at the fare, it wasn't $282. It was a $280 fare that was a one-way fare requiring a round-trip purchase. And when you added in the taxes, the fees, and the surcharges, it was over $1,200.
Now, did you have to pay for anything before you saw that information?
No, I didn't.
Then what's wrong with you? Let me see. When you open up your newspaper...
Ben, hold on. Today, Ben, can you hold one second? Stay with me. We're going to a commercial break, Ben. When we come back, we'll be talking to Ben Baldanza and Kevin Mitchell. Stay with us, everybody. The argument's not over yet. Back right after this. 18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg Worldwide, coming to you from 45 Park Lane in Mayfair in London. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And on the phones with us, Kevin Mitchell, the chairman of the Business Travel Coalition, and Ben Baldanza, the CEO of Spirit Airlines, talking about the new U.S. Department of Transportation rules requiring the airlines to basically disclose all the fares and fees you're going to be paying in the price that they initially quote. And we last left off, Ben, I'm sorry to cut you off because we had to go to commercial. You asked me the question, well, you know, did I see the fares and fees on the screen? Well, yeah, you do see them sooner or later in the old school, but now you see them up front.
Well, now you see them up front, but what you see, you don't realize what is going to the airline and what is going to the government. That's a little sneaky, it seems. I mean, if you open your newspaper today and you look at the car ads in the back, you're going to see a Toyota Camry for maybe $19,999. Do you think you're going to get it for $19,999?
Ben, I got to ask you a question. But now you open the door here because under every U.S. state law, basically, it's a law in every U.S. state, every car manufacturer, whether it's a Toyota or a Nissan or a Dodge, not only has to reveal the vehicle identification numbers of those cars, but how many they have on hand so that when you show up at the dealership, they can't say to you, oh, we don't have a Camry, but we do have a Lexus. They would go to jail for that.
Well, that makes some sense. But again, taxes and airline fares are not the same thing. And when you put them together in one price, it obscures to the consumer what they're actually paying for. When consumers realize at times that 50% of their fare or sometimes 80% of their fare is government tax, don't you think they'd want to know that? Why would you make it look like one thing?
Oh, no, no. I'm totally in favor of that. But the point is, the initial thing that I ever see is, up until recently, is, for example, a $9 fare to Florida. And in fact, weren't you guys fined by the Department of Transportation for that?
No, we weren't fined by that. That wasn't the reason they fined us for that. They fined us because they felt the font wasn't large enough on some things. But the point is, we believe in more disclosure, not less. You're fully aware, Peter, of course, the fact that consumers have been paying a 7.5% federal excise tax on domestic tickets for a long time. Do you know that 2 years ago we tried to break that out on our website and the DOT told us they'd fine us if we kept doing it?
Peter, can I respond to some of this?
Go right ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, to your question about Senator Boxer's concerns, Ben is being disingenuous and misleading again. Senator Boxer is not taking issue with Spirit not liking the full disclosure rule. Senator Boxer and BTC are upset because Spirit Airlines lied to the customers, lied to the flying public by saying that taxes are hidden, and he's continuing to do it on this call. Airlines are free. Here's the fact of the matter. Airlines are free to break out the fees and the taxes so long as the total cost is the more prominent of the two displays, and that is designed to prevent consumers from being misled.
So, Kevin, Ben? I would ask you to design a website that helps consumers find the lowest fare within a 30-day period very easily that can have all that information on it and actually look reasonable. Why not point you to the lowest fare day, and then after you pick the day, show you all the taxes and the total price?
That's
well, actually, if I can respond to that, gentleman, there is one. I use it all the time. It's called Kayak. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I mean, I use that website all the time. When I go on a Kayak and I push in a day I want to fly, they come back to me in the same box and tell me what the fare is and the taxes exactly next to each other in the same box.
Well, we do that when you pick the exact day, but we like showing you all around the days too, because a lot of our customers are flexible in their travel, and we try to save them $20 or $30 if they're willing to move a little.
All right, so let me ask you this. You saw, obviously, Senator Boxer's letter. What's going to be your response to the senator?
We already responded to the senator, but we chose to keep that response private because we didn't want this to be a public debate with her. But we basically explained to her our points. As you probably know, we are in a lawsuit along with Allegiant and Southwest against the DOT on these rules. So all of our arguments on this are clearly laid out in that case. That case is going to be heard. So we just outlined the basis of that case to the senator and respectfully disagreed.
All right. Why don't you outline the basis? Sure.
Well, Kevin talked about unbundling becoming more complicated, and while that may be true, he's missing a major point. Unbundling also saves consumers millions of dollars a year, because when I fly Southwest, for example, I get two bags free. Are they really free? No, I'm paying for the two bags. If I don't check the bags, they don't give me a discount on my price. At Spirit, we unbundle the bags, so if you don't take bags, you don't pay the price for bags. And if you take bags, you pay the price. Because we've unbundled, we let consumers customize their travel. They only pay for what they use, and they save on what they don't use. That's empowerment to the consumer.
Ben, I'm not taking issue with unbundling. I think that finally will give the airline industry a sustainable and profitable revenue stream. The issue is it has become orders of magnitude more complex and confusing for consumers. And DOT has the authority and the right to intervene and make sure that consumers are not misled when they go to sites like yours or they show up at the airport and they get surprised by hidden fees. And, Peter, I'd like to clarify one thing. The new total price or total cost that is being required by this rule does only include mandatory fees and taxes,
right?
Not check bag fees or all the other optional fees.
That's right, which is a good point that Kevin makes there, because in fact the price that you now see from this regulation is likely not the total price you're going to pay. It's just a different starting point to which you're going to add your other options, and you're still going to see a different price at the end. The difference is it's going to be less clear to you what you're paying the airline and what you're paying the government in taxes.
Ben, let me just jump in for a second here. On the case that you're making in court, what legal claim are you making in terms of the response to this?
That I'm not free to discuss that at this point because that's filed in our formal briefs and that has to be handled through that through the courts. I apologize.
Well, is it my understanding that you're claiming the right of free speech is being infringed on?
Absolutely, we believe right of free speech is being infringed on. That's right.
Well, we don't have a problem on this show because we're happy to have both of you on. So there you go. Ben Baldanza, obviously this discussion will continue. Kevin Mitchell, thank you for joining us. And by the way, there are no additional fees or taxes for this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for letting all points be viewed, be considered.
You got it, guys. I appreciate that. And joining me now on the phone, our good friend, the editor-in-chief of Travel Weekly, who I'm sure has something to say on this, Arnie Weissman. Hey, Arnie.
Hey, how are you doing, Peter?
All right. That'll be $25.
Well, I don't know. If Ben's still on the line by any chance, there's one question that I would like to just ask him, and that is when he was saying that unbundling saves consumers money because you don't have to pay for a bag that if you're not going to take one, you don't have to pay for it. But did the airlines lower prices so that those who don't check a bag didn't have to pay it, or was the base price that included the cost of taking a bag, that became where you started, and then bags went on top of that?
Ben, are you still there?
Yes, but can I respond to that?
Sure, go right ahead, Ben.
Okay, so let me give you a couple facts. In 2006, which was the last year that Spirit priced its product like a traditional airline, where we had one price and we didn't charge for checked bags and things, our average fare that we sold that year was $104, and the average after ticket that we sold was $5. So the total price consumers paid for everything was $109, okay? At the end of 2010, which is the last year I have full year data for, the amount we charged in extra fees went from $5 to $35. But the base fare dropped to $77, so the total price consumer paid is now $112 instead of $109. So over 5 years, with all the unbundling, consumers are paying $3 more in total for all their travel, and that's with much higher fuel prices and everything. Now, if other airlines tacked on these fees to their already ridiculously high fares, that's their issue. At Spirit, we have always lowered our base fare as we've added an unbundled fee. We've done that every time.
Okay.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've asked this question to other airline executives, and they have all said we don't track that. So I'm
well, they don't. They say they don't track it because they don't want to remind you that they've just tacked on the fees.
All right. Arnie, I'm glad that question was answered. And Ben, thanks again for staying on the line.
Thank you all very much.
You got it. Arnie, that'll still be $25. Hey, listen, Arnie, stay with me because we're going to take a quick break. We're running a little bit late on the show today, but when you come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the cruise ship investigation on the Costa Concordia, what's really happening in terms of liability, some wild stories there about what the Carnival line did and what the Costa line did and also didn't do. And coming up right after that, our good friend Victoria Mather, the travel editor for Vanity Fair, who happens to just live right here in London. How lucky am I? When we come back, more from 45 Park Lane, one of the Dorchester hotels, right back after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com.